Maybe one or two come with slightly heavy hearts this morning. One run needed, and or a run not run on the last ball, and Worcester or Essex would win. We got the one run in the semi-final yesterday morning against Boston. We didn't get it in the final. Essex are victors. So Essex rejoice, Worcester we're down, but what a fight to get to that final. And I watched it on wonderful big screen last night, and it was wonderful to see. So, Lord, in the ups and downs of life, thank you that you are with us, and you're with us in the ups and downs of our daily lives, and even of this day, whether we're in light or in darkness, Lord, you're with us. And as we've been singing, we bless your holy name. Thank you. Amen. Amen. Well, I loved Peter's put so much work into putting this service together. I just love those words, the letter to God's elect. That means all of us. You are God's elect. I am God's elect. Or somebody once said that these wonderful epistles of Peter and Paul and John are like love letters from God. So you read this. This is Peter's message every Sunday morning to us. But it is actually a love letter from God through Peter, through John, through Paul, saying, you are my elect. You're my precious one. Read it and enter into... Someone said... The Bible is there not for information, is to have a conversation with God. Converse with God every time you read the Bible. It's a conversation as God's elect, as a love letter from him. And we've got three words, and Peter's got it all up there, and I've got it in a sort of Keith Robinson mode.
Yes, that's right. Oh, he's got them all there. Look at that. Come to Christ. Come to that. I'll get that up there again. Just before I come back to the microphone, and also, can you hear me at that just a moment? Little Carlotta. Is Carlotta in back there? She made it last week at school.
No,
at church. At church. Oh, can we give her a clap? Can we have a look afterwards? All the colours. And look how long did it take you?
About 10 minutes.
It was more than 10 minutes. Your mind's over it. It was more than that. Is that right, Rosemary?
Yeah.
It was much longer. So we'll put it there. Because... thank you so much.
Because when we come to Christ, and the first of our words we're going to have, we come to Christ as the light of the world. We come to him as our high priest in the context of 1 Peter. And when we become, what we're called to is to be a royal priesthood, and we'll come back to this scripture in a few minutes, and then put be and come together, and you've got be come. That came to me in the middle of the night about four nights ago. I'm not trying to be too clever, but it just seemed to fit. Be come, bearers of the light. Three wonderful words. So we're going to start with the word to come. And you know, we have literally just been singing, come with full or empty hands. I think we've all got probably a bit of both, but a lot of us just have empty. One or two may be very lucky in a sense and have full. But when you have empty hands, you need God all the more. When you've got full hands, you forget about God. Empty hands, Lord, we so need you. And why does it start? Why does Peter say come? Why doesn't he say go? Because they've all gone. These are Christians Peter's writing to across Turkey, which is what Peter calls in 1 Peter 1 Asia. They're scattered all over Turkey. They're scattered through the world, and as he says, because they're scattered, they feel also they are strangers, because they don't have all the familiar things. For many of them, Christian Jews, the temple, or synagogue, if they lived outside Jerusalem, or sometimes even just the company that we have this morning to be with, they're scattered, and they are strangers in the world. And it's like so many, isn't it, in the world today. We call them nowadays displaced people or refugees, scattered people. This morning at the first service, Patience reminded us this morning in the Sunday program of those worshipping this day in Baghdad with armed guards all around the church, 300 who come, but they're guarded because they don't know if anything's going to happen to them. And it's, of course, not only Iraq, it's in the Kurds we think of Syrians, those scattered from Syria who've just fled. I think 1 million of them are in Lebanon from Syria. It's a huge number. And those who are from, I'm trying to think now, you can think of other people, the Somalis, you see Somaliland. So many have escaped the civil war and the dangers of their Eritrea and all kinds of places where they are scattered and are strangers. Last weekend, Dan and I were in London meeting a whole group of Iranians, all scattered, all wanting to go back to Iran, but they can't, it's too dangerous, and feeling they're strangers, and telling us about those in Iran, of course it's Syria or elsewhere, who've stayed in these countries and who feel they're forgotten because it's so difficult to have contact with them, and therefore who feel isolated and fearful, because when you are scattered and when you're a kind of stranger in another culture, you actually feel isolated and very fearful. Where do I belong? Who am I? What is my identity? And you know, this happens to us in a different way, less severe way maybe, but often very deep in us, when we feel for one reason or another we don't belong. Even in church sometimes you can feel this. I don't really belong here. It's not quite where I'm happy in my worship. And praise God, some people stay. Some people find it too difficult. We have to understand them and they can't. But it's not always easy, even in church. It's certainly not easy, is it, in our society, where we have some kind of faith in God. However, it's not too clear for us sometimes. But there's no, as someone said to me coming back from Uganda, where everybody talks about God and church is very strong, they say there's no God language here. We went to Downton Abbey, that wonderful film, last week. I said to Diana at the end, there wasn't a single mention of God. And of course, Downton Abbey is the late 1930s, and the war coming, and you know, the old England. Actually no mention of God at all, or of church, or of religion in that film. It was, it just struck me. No God language, and therefore a sense in which we don't fit. Someone said to me, lovely this morning, bless you, and I said, bless you. I've almost stopped saying, God bless you. I would have said some years back, God bless you. Now we just say, bless you. And the word God's gone. And we're losing it in our society. And so these words are incredibly important, that in the displacement or isolation and loneliness is for all of us. Sometimes I think we're more lonely in our culture. Mother Teresa in India, I remember her saying, she said, you suffer in the West far more than we do in India because you don't belong. She said, in India, we belong to the land, to the cows, to our people. She said, you're the people that need prayer. You're isolated in your culture. I've never forgotten that. And of course, when we come to him, And we come to that cross this morning. We come to one, as 1 Peter says, 2 verse 4. We come to one rejected by men. Rejected by men. The outsider. The one for whom there was no room in the inn. The one who went to Nazareth and they tried to throw him down a cliff and he walked through them. The one whose very own family came to take him because they said, "You're out of your mind." And the one who in the epistle to the Hebrews says he suffered outside the gate, Hebrews 13, outside the gate, outside the camp. He's Jesus is the outsider, the displaced man, the displaced God in our world. And so we come, but I love the word it says here, we come to him rejected, but he is precious. Don't you love that? Last week I found, the week before, in just giving the blood and the wine and the bread, I've never said it before, but I just said, receive the precious blood of Jesus as we gave the wine. Receive the precious body of Jesus to him who believe. It says so, verses 4 and 6 and 7, if you are following in your Bible, he says, he is precious and you are precious. And the word means, actually, it means you have value. You are honoured and you are respected, deeply honoured. This is what the Lord says to us as Jesus himself, the honoured one, the respected one. The one who is precious. You know, just take this in, not in your mind, take it into your heart this morning, that the Lord says, wherever you are in your life at the moment, you are precious, deeply respected by God, and honoured with great value by him. Come to him. Always Jesus was saying, Come unto me, all who are weary and heavy laden. I love that. Matthew 11:28. I will give you rest. No one else will give you rest. No one, nothing, not deep rest. Come to me, I will give you rest. The way in St. John's Gospel, right at the beginning of the Gospel, the disciples are there. They say, "Lord, where do you live?" Come and see. Come. This is a word often used by the Lord. Come. The end of the Gospel, he's making breakfast and he says, "Come and have breakfast." John 21, come, always saying to people, come to me, saying to his disciples, come. And it's a word he says to us this morning and in this coming week. When I get up tomorrow morning, just to hear the word, come to me, come. I will give you rest. Let's pause a moment and let's just have this sense today that the Lord is saying to each of us, just come to me, as Peter said, this beautiful verse in Peter says it about 1 Peter, cast your care upon him. Come to him, for he cares for you. It's a wonderful word at the heart of the gospel, come. However scattered you are in yourself, or isolated, or maybe have a grief which is very difficult to share, come to him this morning afresh. And then we come to this other word. Come and be a royal priesthood. I love that in verse 5. He's a living stone. You are living stones. You are a holy priesthood, and later on, you're a royal priesthood. And I can hear you saying, that is not me. I didn't go to a college. Even later in life, like Peter, was it 2 years you had Peter studying I never did that. That's not me. I don't have one of these collars. I don't have all those books and what seems to be quite deep learning, but often actually, if we're honest, isn't all that deep. That is definitely not me. And the Lord, in his love letter to God's elect, says, you are a royal priesthood and a holy priesthood. Take it in. And what does a priest do? A priest brings God to people, blesses people, loves people, brings God to people in prayer, and particularly, I think. But the in prayer, bringing God to them, but then also brings people to God, and that's in prayer. Like this morning when we have prayer, it's going to be bringing people, bringing the world to God. And you're in between, you're God's in between. Bringing God to people and bringing people to God. That's the work of a priest. And you are the holy and the royal priesthood. And we've got a wonderful scripture from Deuteronomy 10, verse 8. And because if I read it, I have to turn away from the microphone. If you can see this, do you think you could read this? It's from Deuteronomy chapter 10 and verse 8. Let me just give you the background. This is spoken to the Levites, who are specially set apart as priests and the people of Israel, and so set apart, if you read Deuteronomy 10, that they don't even have any inheritance, because it says God is their inheritance. They're amazing people, these Levites. And what is their job? And this is what Moses says their job is. Do you think you could try and read it? At that time, the Lord set apart the tribe of Levi to carry the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord, to stand before the Lord, to minister, and to pronounce blessings in his name, as they do today. This is a wonderful verse. It came to me from Roy Godwin from Faldy Brennan, who came and led our Bible weekend at the end of last year. It's an amazing verse, and Roy was saying, this is the holy priesthood that we're all involved in. And just look at these things. These people carry the Ark of the Covenant. They bear the presence of God. The Ark of the Covenant was the holy presence of God on this earth to symbolize God in their midst. And these Levites were the ones to carry the Ark. And you and I are people who are called to bear the presence of Christ as a holy priesthood. Wherever you go this week, you won't admit it, you won't feel it, you'll feel you're not a very good Levite or priest, but you bear the presence of God. You are bearers of light. Paul has another beautiful saying. He says it's in 2 Corinthians 2, I think it's verse 10. He has another word to say that you are these bearers of the covenant of light. He says, you are, this is my lovely, still over half full, for my three daughters for Father's Day, beautiful Davidoff perfume. Look at this. Oh, it's lovely. Even if not for anyone else, just to me. You are the aroma of Christ. 2 Corinthians 2:10, I think it is. You are the fragrance of Christ. You bear the presence of Christ. You bear the Ark of Christ. Wherever you go this week or this day, you bear the Ark. You don't have to say anything. You're there. You're a bearer of the Ark. It's amazing. Wonderful. Praise God. You bear the Ark. You know the word Christopher. My first name is Christopher. Christopher Paul. Christopher means Christ offer. Offer is the Greek for offer. You are the one who offer Christ. I've said that twice to Christophers in supermarkets recently. I said, do you know the meaning of your name? They said, no, I told them. You're a bearer of Christ. I said, I am. They've said, oh, well, that's new. It's a wonderful word, Christ bearer. This is what each one of us are, the fragrance of Christ, the aroma of Christ. You stand before the Lord. That's the second thing here. We've just been singing, blessed be the name of the Lord, even when we are suffering. Blessed be the name of the Lord. It's incredible, these words we've just sung. We bless the Lord, whatever suffering you're going through, whatever. We still sang, Lord, you're there. We stand before you. And the Levite was somebody who just blessed the Lord as we do. Psalm 63 says, I will bless you as long as I live. I'll lift up my hands to praise your name. Wonderful Psalm 63. Psalm 103, bless the Lord, O my soul. All that is within me, bless his holy name. This is a wonderful ministry to bless God. If you do nothing else, the rest of this day, and you remember, bless God. Justin Welby, who came to us a couple of years ago and talked in the cathedral, he said, our Archbishop, he said, 40 times a day, I say, Lord, I love you. Lord, I love you. Bless God. Are you blessing God in your life? Whatever. Am I? I can go for hours without sometimes even being aware of God. To stand before the Lord, God needs us just to bless him. He wants it. And if we don't, in a sense, he is deprived. Someone has said, to be is a blessing, just to live is holy. To be is a blessing, just to live is holy. Blessing the Lord. And the third thing here is blessing other people. We've just been singing, haven't we? Let us bless the Lord. Thanks be to God. But then also blessing other people. What a ministry you and I have to bless someone else. Someone in your office. Someone you're sending an email to or an app or whatever. Or you're on the telephone to. And you just, Lord, bless this person. Bless. You see, when you bless, you are honouring them, you're respecting them, you're holding them there in the presence of God himself. And thirdly, we come to the third thing, we become, isn't this wonderful, bearers of light. Verse 9, that you may declare the praises of him who's called us out of darkness into his marvellous light. That's what I think, what's the word here, verse 9, who called you into his wonderful light. The word actually means this, wonderful, marvellous, amazing. That's a wonderful word we use now, isn't it? Something's amazing, called into his amazing light. And when a man born blind, in John chapter 9, and he was trying to describe about Jesus, they wouldn't believe that he'd been born, that he'd been healed. And he says, this is an amazing thing. He's opened my eyes. It's the same word. The marvellous light of that man in John 9. His eyes were opened. And we are those who, in a wonderful way, are called to be bearers of this light. Just around you now, every person is a bearer of light. Just be aware of the person next to you. He or she, me, also, we are bearers of light. Bearers of light in the midst of so much darkness. And sometimes I just say, Lord, who am I to be this kind of a bearer of light? I sometimes don't feel like it. I sometimes don't make a good job of it. I feel inadequate. Lord, it's too much. But you know, I love these last verses, last words as we come to the end. Verse 10. Look at who you are. You were once no people. Now you are a people. You're a God's possession. It's not that we possess God. God possesses us. That, to me, releases everything. It's not me trying to cling, Lord, to you, and I can't cling because life's too difficult and I don't have much faith in all of this business. Lord, you cling to me. And that's the most marvellous thing. I'm the God who clings to me, possesses me, won't let me go. No one can snatch me out of the Father's hand, said Jesus. No one can take me out of God's possession. And this final thing, he says, once you didn't receive mercy, now you are a receiver of mercy. All God's mercy, as we had that absolution that Peter gave to us, God's forgiveness, God's love, all that wonderful canon that we were looking at, and it's all mercy. It's not, as Peter said, it's not anything we're doing. It's God is doing in us. We are these vessels of mercy that God pours unto us this day and says, "You're under my mercy." I think it was a mentor of C.S. Lewis who said, "Under my grave, I just want three words. Under the mercy. Under the mercy." Lord, we just come now just to come under your mercy, to let you possess us again in this wonderful act of worship. To come to you because ultimately there's no one else to come to. Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden. We come, Lord, not to be great doers, but to be those who actually, in these wonderful words, you are a royal priesthood. Be a royal priesthood. Stand between me, says the Lord, and this world. Bring this world in your family, in your home, the sick person, whoever, bring them to me. Be my royal priest, my holy priest. And come and just be a bearer of light, just by who you are, and able to declare the wonderful works of you, Lord, who calls us out of darkness into your amazing light. Let's pause for a few moments, just pray that perhaps one or two things that the Lord might have said touch you and you hold to them, and praise God. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ.